in your Bible. It's page 1172. That's where we're going to be hanging out this morning. And the message actually is really simple. The message that Galatians 5 gives, the message that God has for us this morning is this. True freedom is found only in Jesus Christ and in a life lived by His Spirit. True freedom is found only in Jesus Christ and in a life lived by His Spirit. That is the simple message of Galatians 5. That's what Paul's saying to the people that he's writing this letter to. Now, I looked up a definition for free, and in the dictionary it says, able to act or do as one wishes. That's what it means to be free, according to the dictionary. Able to act or do as one wishes, not under the control of another. That's what the dictionary says free means. If you look at Galatians 5, verse 1, just the first part, for freedom Christ has set us free. I just want us to think about that for a little moment. Can anyone think of a symbol that we use for freedom? Any in the world, any symbols that come to your mind when you think of the word freedom or free? So symbols would sum that up for you. Any ideas? A dove? Yeah. Any others? A broken chain? Yeah, I've seen that one. There's one particular bird that is used a lot for freedom. And it's an eagle. Particularly in America, they use it on a flag, one of their flags. And it's a symbol for freedom. Why an eagle? Well, because it's just such an amazing bird. It can soar so high with such little effort, go so far, can just, you know, they talk about being as free as a bird, then it'd be as free as an eagle, up and free and high. Nothing holding you back, just soaring on those winds like an eagle. But actually, is an eagle free in terms of that definition from the dictionary? Can an eagle do whatever it wants to do, that amazing symbol of freedom? Well, what if an eagle decided, well, I'm not just happy flying in the sky, I quite like to fly underwater. So it dives down into the ocean, goes underwater and thinks, okay, I'm going to soar down here, I'm free. Or what if it decided, I don't like this constraints of the sky, I'm going to go up into space. I'm going to fly amongst the stars. Because I'm free. Well, as you can well imagine, he wouldn't be free, well, for very long. An eagle can't survive underwater and it can't survive in space, but it is free when it's in the sky. That's what freedom really means. We were created to be in relationship with God and in the center of His will. And that, if you like, is our sky. That's where we're free. In relationship with God and in the center of His will. When we try and fly outside of that, it is like the eagle trying to fly underwater or fly into space. We can't survive. Our lives fall apart. Now, I need two volunteers to help me preach this morning. One of them would be my wife, if she doesn't mind. Look at her face. I'm in so much trouble when I get home, I tell you. And the other, if he doesn't mind, would be John. You want to help me? Would you like to sit over there, my darling? Special, beautiful wife. Best wife in all the world. Thanks, John. Appreciate that. Okay. So all you have to do is sit and relax and enjoy. Don't worry too much. Okay. Now, the Galatians, before they came to Christ, they thought they were free. But when they found out about Jesus, they realized that they weren't. First of all, they realized, because Paul taught them, that they were under the law. That they were actually tied up by the law. So they weren't really free at all, even though they thought they were. Is that right, John? Not too tight? They were tied up under the law. Secondly, what they didn't realize is that they were slaves to what the Bible calls the flesh. They were tied up. I've been wanting to do this for a long time, Miller. They were tied up by the flesh. They were enslaved to it, even though they didn't realize it. They thought they were free in terms of the world, but they weren't. They were under the law of God, and they were slaves to their flesh. Under the law in the sense that God had given the law to you, this law, that if you could live by it, then you could be righteous and you could be saved. But the problem was nobody could. Nobody could. And so they were tied up by this law. They didn't realize it, but they were. They were slaves to the flesh, and the flesh is really talking about our human nature outside of God. That thing without God that motivates to do the things that we do, the wrong and not good things that we do. They were slaves to that, and they were tied up to that. And Paul helped them realize this, and the amazing thing is the Galatians believed him. They believed in Jesus. They realized that no matter how good they were, no matter how hard they tried to be good before God, they can never be good enough. Only through Jesus could they be saved from their sins. And so, because of Paul preaching the gospel, the Galatians had been set free. They were no longer under the law. Christ died on the cross instead, so they didn't have to die. They were set free. And also, they were free from being enslaved to the flesh, because the Holy Spirit had come to live in them when they gave their hearts to Jesus, and the Spirit led them into the ways of God, and their heart was after God, no longer after these desires of the flesh. Much harder to untie you, obviously did it properly. So they were free. Free from the law, free from flesh. Free from the flesh, so I couldn't really say that. And that was through the good news that preached. They had found freedom in Christ. Not under the law now, but under grace. Not under slave to sin now, but free to walk by the Spirit. That's what had happened to them. But there's a problem. And we read it in the second half, verse 5. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Do not go back to being tied up by the law and by the flesh. And this is what had happened to the Galatians. This is why Paul is writing this letter. Having found freedom in Christ, having been living in step with the Spirit, they're now allowing themselves to be tied up again. And in this part of the letter, what we're reading today, what Paul is saying to them and warning them and encouraging them is stay free. Don't let yourself be tied up again by the law. Don't let yourself be enslaved again to the flesh. Stay free. In the first section, so verses 2 to 12, which Paul read to us, what Paul is saying to them is stay free. Don't go back under the law. And so what had happened, sorry John, is that the Galatians had allowed themselves, having been set free from the law, they were starting to allow themselves to be tied up in it all over again. And Paul is writing to warn them about this. So if you look in verse 4 there, he says, "You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law." That is, those people who think they can make themselves right with God by obeying the law, you can't do it. You are severing yourself from Christ by trying to do that. You have fallen away, see the last part there, from grace. Having found grace, now they have fallen away, going back under the law. What had happened was there were these false teachers that were saying, faith in Jesus Christ, it's not enough. That's not enough to find forgiveness. That's not enough to find salvation. It's not enough to be put right with God just believing in what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. It's not enough. You've got to do something else as well. You've got to be circumcised. You've got to start following all the old feasts that the Lord God prescribed in the Old Testament. Only then will you be able to be saved. They were adding to the gospel. They were adding to the truth. And in so doing, they were getting themselves all tied up again. Because the Bible teaches us, you cannot earn your way into heaven. They talked about circumcision and about feasts. We don't have that today. But people still today try and think they can be good enough. They can earn their way into heaven. And it's easy for Christians to fall back into that. To think they have to add stuff to what Christ did on the cross if they want to be saved. And in so doing, they just become enslaved again. If you try and earn your way to heaven, when you stand before God, he will show you in your heart that you have failed. You did not keep all of the law, absolutely. And if you didn't, then you failed and you're under his judgment. But if you accept Christ, Christ stood in your place. He took all of that for you. He became that. He took God's judgment on the cross and you found forgiveness. And this is what Paul's trying to say to them. In verse 6 there, Paul reaffirms the truth. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. Only faith in Jesus working itself out through love. All those under law face the same fate. Verse 4a, they are severed from Christ. They are under God's judgment. Now, just really important clarification here. It's not that there's anything wrong with the law. And obviously, the law that was given, those Ten Commandments, we still seek to keep today as Christians. What was wrong is that they thought they could get to heaven. They thought they could get into relationship with God by obeying the law. And you can't. So the law wasn't wrong, but how they were trying to use it as their way to God was. Only Jesus is the only way to Christ. Secondly, having found freedom from the flesh, in verses 13 to 23, they were allowing themselves to be tied up again and becoming slaves to flesh. Verse 13, just want to have a look there. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. And what had happened is, some of the Galatians were being led to be back under the law. Some had a different problem, a different misunderstanding. They were beginning to think that being free in Christ meant you could do whatever you want. You weren't under law anymore, so you were free, which meant do whatever you like, and it's fine. But that was also a false misunderstanding that led them back into enslavement to the flesh or the human nature that they had before Christ. Freedom in Christ is freedom, but it's freedom from slavery to passions and desires of the flesh. And they are listed. It's not a complete list, but Paul lists quite a few of them here in verse 19. These are the things that they had become free from in Christ. Now, the works of the flesh are sexual immorality. That's every sexual activity outside of marriage between a man and a woman. That's what sexual immorality means in here. Any sexual activity outside of that is sexual immorality. Impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife. Listen to this list. It's not good stuff, is it? It's not stuff you want to be enslaved to. Jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these, which means it's not a complete list. But it's those sorts of things that we were enslaved to. Even if we didn't really want to do them, we ended up doing them. Because they controlled us, because we didn't have God's Spirit living in us, helping us to work against those things. And what was happening by thinking that they could do whatever they want, they were ended up giving up to these desires and passions again and getting all tangled back up into arguments and fights with each other, into sexual immorality, into all of these horrible things that end up destroying our relationship with God and destroying our relationship with each other. What they had, what they had been freed from was slavery to these passion desires. And what they've been freed to, these passages tell us, is to live by the Spirit as God intended and with the fruits of the Spirit. Every time I read this week, Hannah, that song kept coming into my mind. I found myself singing it. It was really good. It helped me to remember it. But I won't sing it to you now. It's right. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Listen to this list. This is what we have been freed to in Christ. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. That's what the Galatians have been freed to. And they were allowing themselves to lose that wonderful fruit of the Spirit, to get tied up again and enslaved to the flesh. Romans 8 is a great passage that talks to us about, you know, when we come to faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us, to dwell in us, and to help us slowly change to become more and more like Jesus, until this wonderful verse in 1 John that says, until we will be like him one day when he comes again and we will be with him in glory. And that's our process. When you give yourself to Jesus, that's the process of what happens. It's not like you suddenly have all of this fruit at once and suddenly all of the human nature disappears. If you judge yourself by that balance, then you're going to find it really, you know, you're just going to feel terrible, because it doesn't happen like that. But what should happen is, over time, you will have more and more victory over the flesh, more and more fruit of the Spirit will be evident in your life, and less and less and less of the flesh, until one day we'll be fully like him. That's the wonderful miracle of what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. Like the eagle, we'll be free to be in the sky, to soar as God intended, in love and harmony with God and in love and harmony with each other. As long as we don't gratify the desires of the flesh, but keep growing the fruits of the Spirit that he is growing in us. And so there's these really powerful, simple, yet important instructions that we must remember as God's people. Verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So they've crucified the flesh and now walking by the Spirit. That, you probably all know what crucifixion is because of Jesus and how he was crucified for our sins. But what it's talking about here is that's something we've got to do to those fleshly desires, to crucify them, to kill them out of our lives, and then to walk by the Spirit. And actually, it's hard to do, but it is a simple process. There's a great illustration I heard many years ago of a lady who was commuting to work every day on the train. And as they do, lots of other people took the same journey every day, and she slowly got to know some of them, and she got to know this one guy in particular. They just hit it off, started chatting about everything, good friends. But slowly, after a while, she began to realize that she was starting to like him, and she was married. And she knew it wasn't right. She was a Christian, but, you know, she just couldn't help these feelings that were growing in her heart towards this man. After a long time, she finally went to her husband and confessed, you know, that this is what was happening. And her husband said something wonderful, simple, and something we all need to hear more often. Change trains. Change trains. Crucify the desires of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit for her meant changing trains. Walking in the Spirit for us, when we feel the temptations of the Spirit, can be as simple as that. Just crucifying what we know is not right, walking in the Spirit. And that's what they were being called to do. But unfortunately, they were allowing themselves to be tied up again. So having been set free, here the Galatians are again, represented by John and Merlin, tied up under the law, tied up, enslaved again to the Spirit. And Paul says to them, if you look in verse 7 and 8 there, you know, what happened? You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. This isn't from Christ. This is from somewhere else. This is not from Jesus who calls you. Verse 1 says, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit to a yoke of slavery. Do not add anything to the gospel. It is Christ alone, Paul says to the Galatians. Do not gratify the desires of the flesh. Live by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit, Paul says to the Galatians. And if you do that, then you will be truly free. And I guess that brings us to the point where we have to say, okay, what about us? What about me? And that's what I've been asking myself all these last couple of weeks as I've been reading this passage. What about me? Am I free in Christ? First, a word to those of you who may not yet know Jesus. If you do not know Jesus, then as John is at the moment, you are in bondage. You are tied up. You are under the law. Unless you obey the law perfectly, when you meet God in heaven, when you die, or when he comes again, you will be under his judgment. But if you accept what Jesus did for you, that he died on the cross for those sins, he took that punishment. If you believe in him and give your life over to him, then you will be set free. You will be free in Christ. No longer in bondage to the law, but free. To those of you who know Jesus, remember this as you walk through 2018. Christ alone. Don't add anything to that. It is Christ alone. And keep in step with the Spirit. It's a wonderful phrase, isn't it? You know, it sort of reminds me of some people marching, you know, and there's the sort of the lead march, and everyone has to make sure they're in perfect time with him. And that's what we need to be with the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. The actual meaning of the word is in line. So in perfectly line. So lining yourself up with God. Lining yourself up with what you know God wants you to do and how he wants you to live. And putting your life in line with his ways through the Spirit. And if you do that, then as Christians, you will stay free. The fruit of the Spirit will continue to grow in your life. And you will better walk freely with him. So, the simple message of the day. True freedom is found only in Jesus Christ and in a life lived by his Spirit. Shall we pray together about that? Thanks, John and Merlin. You can go back if you want. Thank you for doing that for me.